Islam commands that sovereignty for a nation is only for the laws of Allah, and that the nation does not depend on anyone else for its security. It also commands that it is for the Muslims to appoint a just ruler, and that the affairs of the people are the ruler's primary concern. After destroying the Khilafah in 1924, these principles were swept aside, and the Western powers carved the Muslim Ummah into nation states, installing puppet regimes in order to ensure the suffocation of the people, both intellectually and politically. Saudi Arabia is one of these imperialist creations, a near-perfect illustration of the nature of the regimes in the Muslim world, and the servant-master relationship they have developed with the Western powers. Although this film focuses on the Saudi regime and its relationship with America, its aim is to make Muslims conscious of the general political circumstances surrounding them, so that all the corrupt regimes in the Muslim world are politically challenged, accounted and replaced with one Islamic state, the Khilafah. The modern-day Kingdom of Saudi Arabia came into existence as a result of a rebellion against the Islamic Khilafah state. Britain sought to strike the Islamic state from within. Followers of the Wahhabi madhab by then had managed to establish an entity within the Islamic state, led by Muhammad ibn Saud and later by his son Abdulaziz. Britain supplied them with weapons and money, and they moved on a sectarian basis to seize the Islamic lands, which were under the authority of the Khilafah. They took up arms against the Khalifa and fought the Islamic armed forces, all the time goaded by the British. It was well known that Al Saud were British agents. The huge arsenals and equipments which reached them via India, and the monies to cover the war effort against the Khilafah, were supplied by the British. They exploited the Wahhabi madhab with the aim of fighting the Islamic State and clashing with the other madhabs in order to incite sectarian wars with the Uthmani Khilafah. The followers of this madhab were unaware of this, but the Saudi Emir was fully aware. This is because the relationship was not between the British and Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, but between the British and Al Saud. Al Saud's family reward for playing the most important role in this rebellion was to be granted by the British the position of future rulers of Hijaz. They had so much trust and confidence in their British masters and were so arrogant of their possession that they called it Saudi on September the 23rd, 1933, the only state in the world to be named after a family. Contrary to popular Western myth, it is the Saudis that are dependent on the US and not the other way round. The relationship is one in which the Saudi regime has no leverage over the US, while the US exerts almost total control over the regime with the power to remove the regime overtly or covertly. It was King Abdulaziz who invited foreigners, including a major American oil company, to facilitate exploration for assets beneath the soil of the impoverished kingdom. In May 1933, a 60-year contract offering the exclusive concession for exploration and extraction of oil was concluded with Standard Oil of California. It was not until 1938 that they first struck oil in commercial quantities. The company name would later change in 1944 to Aramco. the Arabian American Oil Company. It was totally American owned, and it would be another 30 years before the Saudis acquired a 25% share and then finally full control in 1980. The kingdom's unparalleled oil resources laid the foundations of the relationship. The United States focused on excluding other foreign powers, as the American State Department official, George Kennan, viewed the matter in 1944.
The oil in the region is the greatest single material prize in all history.
American leaders have since then concluded that their ultimate national interest in the Gulf is to keep the prize and the power that comes with it out of unfriendly hands. At the time, this meant not only the USSR, but more importantly, Britain, then a major regional power whose bases in Iraq and Jordan, both ruled by her stooges, were rivals for influence.
Leaving the train, King Faisal, wearing a cream and gold uniform, salutes the Queen with a charming gesture and receives in turn a warm family welcome.
Their proximity to the oil fields, British ambitions, and British-trained military forces all led to America ensuring that the Saudis concluded a defense pact with the United States in 1951. It included lease of the Dahran airfield. When Britain formed the Baghdad Pact, which encompassed Britain, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, and Pakistan, in order to protect its interests from the Americans, the US responded by getting the Saudis to sign a mutual defense pact with its most successful agent, Gamal Abdel Nasser, and invited Egyptian military trainers into the kingdom in parallel to the Americans. A few years later, in the Suez Crisis of 1956, President Eisenhower forcefully opposed the British, French and Israeli plan to seize Egypt's Suez Canal, seeing it as a European neo-imperial enterprise. In turn, the crisis enhanced America's image in the region, allowing the Saudis to renew the American lease at Dahran the next year. Eventually, it was the Carter administration in the fall of 1978 that witnessed the most significant removal of British influence in the region in the shape of the overthrow of the Shah of Iran. Saudi oil revenues were also harnessed by America to spread capitalism in its global struggle against communism, sponsoring anti-communist rebel movements in Angola, Ethiopia and Afghanistan. However, it was often done in a secret manner, such as when the White House in May 1984, at the request of Reagan's National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane, instructed Prince Bandar to deposit over $1 million a month in a Miami bank account belonging to the American-backed Nicaraguan Contra rebels, after Congress had stopped official funding. However, Americans began to question their alliance with the Saudis after September the 11th, like never before. A number of academics, thinkers and policymakers sought to distance the relationship between Saudi and themselves. The Republican Senator Richard Shelby said,
"We have, at our best, not a great relationship with the Saudis. It's transactional, and we should keep that in mind."
This essentially represents the view of the neoconservatives. Although Bush had publicly distanced himself from such calls, is clear that he quietly endorsed this view. The influential conservative think tank, the RAND Corporation, was specifically hired by Bush in 2000.